thank you so much for being back this afternoon for second part of our service. We want to continue on with our little metaphoric use of the boat as a theme. So we want to continue that vein of thought. We're not going to take you very far away from where we was talking this morning. We established kind of some of the similarities in the Gospel of Mark, how important the boat played a crucial part of the story and the narrative in the life of Christ. From Mark chapter 4 through Mark chapter 8, there's a lot of times where Jesus is on the boat or with his disciples or somewhere in, near, around water. Now for this afternoon, I want to take you, give you a little different standpoint. I came up this as I was on one of these this summer and was thinking about, as we think about how the church is like a vessel and like a boat, and how some of the similarities of us being like a boat. But I want us to think about the fact that we're not like this one. See this one, you look at this one, it's nice. And if you've been on one, they're nice, they're comfortable, they a lot of stuff on there, but this ain't the church. This is not how you want to think about us being a vessel. You don't want to think about this. The church is not a cruise ship, it's a boat. And so when let's look at some differences between the cruise ship and the boat. We look at cruise ships, it's the difference between being a passenger and being a part of the crew. When you're on the cruise ship, everybody's a passenger. You're the passenger. The only people you're worried about is the people that are cooking the food, the stewards that are taking care of your room, and those entertainment people, people handing out towels at the pool, and the cruise ship director. Do you even see the captain? If you're on a cruise ship, do you even see the captain? Don't see him. People that control and navigate, now that's very important to the function of the ship, don't see him. I was on the thing for 8 days, never saw the captain, except for the next to the last day. See, you saw some pictures in the lobby. There was a poster of the captain saying, hey, welcome to the ship. Have a nice time. Be safe. If you was on your TV in the stateroom, there would be a little commercial, little picture come up. Hey, this is Captain Luca. Hey, welcome aboard. Be safe. Have a nice time. But you didn't see him walking around in the halls. You never bumped into the captain. You didn't just bump in. Hey, Captain, how you doing? No, because the captain is up in the helm doing what he's supposed to do, making sure the boat operates safely, make sure it sails, make sure they go from port to port. You know, I would sit there and watch as the boat would sail out. I mean, I just would be fascinated to watch how this big thing would sail in, and he would back that thing in, and it would get right next to the dock. They'd throw the ropes out, tie it off, and then they would untie the ropes, and this thing, he would back it out. And then he would turn, and then it would start to sail. I was like, man, this big old thing, they would just move it. It was smooth. But the captain was up there doing that. You didn't see him walking around the ship, you know. So the last day, the day before the cruise, went to a little briefing. They tell you how you're going to get off the ship. That's the captain. He came out, said a couple words. Hey, thank you. Come back again. Bye. And he was gone. So he's not very important on a cruise ship. The person that's important on a cruise ship, the cruise director. Because he's the one that you hear his voice every day. Hey, good morning. Giving you the schedule of events, telling you when you get off. So we look at a cruise ship. Everybody on the cruise ship is passengers. But people who travel, the important work is handled by trained professionals on a cruise ship, and it's called a crew. Now, if you ever go downstairs, like when you was getting off the boat, and you go down on the first level, and you get off, and behind the little screen, little area, you open the door, see a bunch of people running around there working, people in uniforms. When we would get off the ship, as soon as we get off, we walking in, we see guys hanging off the ship, painting, and doing all kinds of stuff. That's the crew. See, them? That's the crew. They out there painting, fixing stuff. See guys come around with ladders, a light go out, they fix it. That's the crew. Ancient mariners on a boat were not passengers, they were on the crew. Everybody on the boat was crew. Wasn't no passengers, wasn't nobody just laying up, just cruising. No, everybody was working. Y'all watch these things on A&E, you watch The Deadliest Catch? Even for a few minutes, you watch them boats, them fishing vessels, where they go out there fishing for lobster and fish. Everybody on there's a crew. Everybody got a job. Even the captain who's out there driving the ship and navigating, sometimes he come down and put his gloves on and do some work. Everybody has a job. People that are below deck, they're cooking, they're fixing foods, they're doing stuff, but everybody has something to do for the ship. Ain't no people just laying back. And you see on those, on like The Deadliest Catch, they got the new guys in there. And if they ain't working out, they're like, hey, next port we get to, we got to cut him loose. He ain't working out. And they ain't afraid to tell you, you are not working out. You are not cutting it. And so they give you a chance and they keep you. And a lot of times you see guys struggling and floundering. But then by the end of the cruise, they got it. They pick it up. And so, but on those ancient mariners' boats, like during the time of Jesus, everybody was a part of the crew. You'll be raising sails, tying knots, pulling oars, fishing. Everybody has something to do. If you don't know how to do a task, you better watch. You better watch and learn. It's what we call, Dennis, OJT, on-the-job training. Ain't no book. No, get here, watch him, and then what he does, you do it. Because sometimes somebody might go down, you better, if the ship is floundering and somebody get hurt, you better know that job and better get in there and tie it off or else you ain't gonna make it. We was with some people, we met some people on the trip, and they told us they went on an excursion where they took them on one of those racing boats, one of those regatta racing boats, and to give them the experience. And basically they had a captain and maybe one or two crew members, but basically all those people did was teach you how to do the boat. And so you had to get on there. They put everybody in a position, and then they went out and took it on a little course. But basically, the guy said it was fun, but he said it was a lot of work because you was rigging and you was turning the sails, trimming the sails. Oh, you had to do it, or else you wasn't going to make it down the course and back. So on that excursion, everybody had to participate, and that's more like the church. The church ain't a cruise. We ain't a bunch of passengers just sitting back riding, enjoying the ride. No, we're part of the crew. In the Lord's church, everybody's supposed to have something to do. Because we're crew, we ain't passengers. If you a passenger, you a visitor. If you a passenger, that's because you visiting. But if you in the church, you in the Lord's church, then you need to be about, like Jesus said, about my Father's business. You part of the crew. So I don't care if you got a little job, I don't care if you just sweeping, or if you leading songs, or if you preaching, everybody got something to do. We rigging, we trimming the sails, we oaring, we rowing, we doing something on the Lord's ship. So there's a difference between cruise ships and those ancient mariner ships between being a passenger and a crew. On those ancient ships, on a cruise ship, passengers do their own thing. Crew members work together. Passengers on a cruise ship, you do your own thing. There's plenty of things to do. You can go out, they can go to the pool, they got movies, they got all kind of stuff. Anything you want to do, you want to lose your money, they got a room where you can lose your money. They got machines and arcades out there, you can lose your money on the ship. They got places for you to spend your money. You can buy diamonds, you can buy watches, you can buy anything you want. They got plenty of places for you to spend money out there. You can do your own thing. And then if you're a person that don't like to be around people, you can stay in your room and they will bring your food to your room. Pick up the phone, call, get some pizza, have some room service. They'll knock on the door and bring your plate and put it on your door. So you could do your own thing. But on the ancient ships, on the boats, it wasn't like that. Raising sails, navigating by the stars took some teamwork. Ancient mariners had to learn to work together or otherwise they would sink. All right, so when you are on the crew and on the boat, you had to work together. You couldn't just like, well, I'm gonna just go to my little part of the boat and I'm gonna just kick back over here. And I don't feel like, you get up and like, I don't feel like rowing today. I think I'm gonna just stay in my room and call in sick. No, not on the boat. Every day is a work day. You got to get up there and get with it because everybody's got a position. Everybody's key. Everybody's vital. You're the rigger. If you don't get up there and run them sails, we don't get no wind. We don't move. So you can't just call in sick. You see on the show, sometimes the deadliest catch, them guys out there got colds, got flu. You better take some flu medication and get your coat on and get out there. Because we got to get these lobsters, we got to get these crabs, because we only got a limited time to catch this and get back in the port before the season's over. So there ain't no days off, ain't no calling in sick. Every day you got to work, and you got to work together. On a passenger ship, on a cruise ship, you know, you can dine separately. You don't eat with the crew, you eat separately. There's plenty of places to eat. You can go all over the boat. There's all kind of, on the ship, there's all kind of nice places for you can eat. But on an ancient boat, everyone ate together from a common table. They not only shared the food, but they worked together to prepare the meal, then they had to clean up afterwards. The mixing was not an option. Now, in the Navy, from what I understand now, on those big carriers in the Navy, now there's some separation. The captain and the petty officers, they got that little area, and they eat up there. And then the rest of the crew, everybody else, you eat down in the galleys. You all eat together, but they're all together. You don't have no choice of not separating or dining separately. You have to eat together. On a modern passenger ship, modern cruise ship, passengers are entertained. Those aboard, those get cruise ships, the whole thing is to get you out there, allow you to spend some money, and to entertain you. They have shows and light shows and all these different things because you go on there to have a good time and to be entertained, and they have plenty of entertainment for you. But those aboard those ancient boats, you had to entertain yourself. At the end of the day, you might sit around and you talk, and they would tell stories and jokes and true tales, and they gathered together, but on those ancient ships, there wasn't no entertainment. There was no floor show. Also on those cruise ships, it does not take courage to sign up for a cruise. You just have to have money. Sign up for a cruise, you gotta have your money, get your money right, you can sign up. It don't take courage. But in the ancient days, going to sea was terrifying. If you was on them ancient boats, it was terrifying. And then think back to a time period when it was believed that that the world was flat, and people didn't know what was out there in the ocean. There was a time when people believed that there were sea monsters, that the sea was filled with great monsters. And so it was believed that the sea was one part of creation that had not been tamed by God, because of all the myths that sailors and mariners had about what was in the ocean, about monsters. And we didn't understand the storms. We didn't understand hurricanes. We didn't understand these storms. We didn't understand currents and all that. So going to sea back in the day was terrifying. You know, you had to have some guts to go out there and be on the sea. You think about those stories about the whalers and going out there, going after whales and hunting fish and all that. You had to have some courage to be a seaman back in those days. But to go on a cruise, you don't have to have no courage. You just have to have some money. You have some money. Don't take no guts. You got some money. You got your passport. You got your documents. You can sign up. You can go cruising. But it takes a little bit more that you can to get on those ships like they had back in those days. Ancient sailors had to have some guts to set sail in those creaky old wooden boats. Now, them boats, they weren't like these nice modern cruise liners, all metal, steel, get inside, carpet and all that inside. These boats was creaky. They was old. They was leaky a lot. And sometimes while they were sailing on the ships, they had to repair them while they were sailing, because you had to get some pitch and some tar and go in those cracks so that the thing wouldn't leak. So they were creaky, they were old, and if, depending on how old they were, sometimes you had to fix them while you were sailing to keep them from falling apart. So it took some courage to sail on those boats. But thankfully, the church is not a cruise ship. Church is not a cruise ship. The church is a boat where all can be transformed by working together. We look at 1 Corinthians 11. 1 Corinthians 11, Paul said that we should be followers of him as he also was a follower of Christ. In 1 Corinthians 11:1, be ye followers of me as I follow Christ. Then we go over to 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 1. Paul says, we then as workers together with him beseech you also that ye receive not the grace of God in vain. For he said, I have heard thee in a time accepted, and the day of salvation I have secured thee. Behold, now is accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. But Paul stressed that we are workers together. So, and we're like the boat, like we talked about today, because we're all part of the crew. We all have to work together. If we're all going to survive, if we're all going to see the church through, we all have to be workers together. Sometimes members act as though the pews are deck chairs and a comfortable place to sit and watch others, while others teach children, others visit the sick, others carry about the different functions of the church. Some of us think we're on a cruise, because we think we're in a deck chair. We sitting back lounging. Let somebody else do it. Somebody's back there teaching the babies, let somebody else do it. Somebody's out there visiting the sick, let somebody else do it. We here to be entertained. We here riding the cruise, but friends, we're in the ship. We all have to get in the part. If there's sometimes we need some work, somebody needs to do something, we need to be willing to pick up our hands. Hey, I don't know how to do it, but I'll go back here and try. I'll get with somebody else and try to learn this function. Sometimes, well, I don't know how to do that. I don't know how to do that. I ain't never been trained. Go back there and figure it out. We'll get you some training. We'll get you. We'll put you with somebody that knows how to do it real good until you can learn it. A lot of us, how many of us was trained for some of the stuff we did? We just came up. We got with other people and they said, hey, brother, this is how you do this. And then we learned and eventually we was good. How many of us had official training for going out and winning souls? You just go out with somebody else. Brother Maxwell tells me a lot. He used to go out with Brother Ralph Solaire. And he said he just watched Brother Solaire and watched how he taught, watched his method. And he learned how to teach others from going out with somebody else watching. When you go out in teams. So a lot of times just get with other people. Get with people who are doing it. Get with people who are already involved. And they will help you and bring you along and help to teach you. So we're a boat. We're not a cruise ship. We're not sitting back watching other people do stuff like you do on the cruise. Sometimes we divide into groups with each doing their own thing. Thankfully, the church is not a cruise, but a boat where we can all be reconciled, trusting that our shared love of God is greater than our differences. We're in a place where we are reconciled with God. We might have some differences. We come from some different places, different walks of Christ, different walks, but we are all together on this crew. When you got on those ancient ships, you had people from all different kind of backgrounds. One of the things I know from American history that on those fishing vessels that went out were whalers, that African Americans that were slaves, that they had more independence and freedom out on those ships than they would in jobs on the land. Because see, when you got on that ship, everybody had to trust that your life was in the hand of the man that was next to you. So there wasn't no time to be prejudiced out there on them ships. If you could do your job, if you could prove yourself, you was just as good as anybody else. You got paid what everybody else got paid. So a lot of time, African Americans found it that they had more independence and they were treated better working on those whaling ships, because in those ships, there was no time for some prejudice. There was no time for to be slighting anybody, because you might need to count on that man to save your life. When things are going wrong, you need to count on everybody. And so the same thing in the church. We don't have time for variances and for slighting other people, because we need everybody to keep the church going like a boat. We're a community where we're all reconciled to God, and we need everybody to help us to get this thing through the mission of life. Thankfully, the church is not a cruise, but a boat. Sometimes members forget that we are called not merely to coexist, but to mix together in joyful fellowship. He didn't call us just to come in here, and I can sit over here, and I can sit over there, and you can sit over there, and we don't have to mix. Sometimes we think we can just come in and go out to church. No, we're not a cruise. Now, on a cruise, that thing, the one I was on held about, they had 4,600 people on there. 4,000 people. And there's some bigger ones that hold like, you know, 8,000, twice as much. So you get that many people out there, you know, a lot of times you may not see the same person twice on there. You might see somebody once here and you may not see them, because they might live on one part of the ship, you might live on the other part. You may not eat at the same dining hall. So there was a lot of people, but sometimes you didn't run into them. There were some people you see every day, and there are people that live next to you, but a lot of people you didn't see. And so sometimes in the church, we think we're like on a cruise, that we can just come in here and just coexist, but not have to fellowship. And that's why the cruise ship is not the true epitome of what the church is about. Jesus even told us in Matthew chapter 7, verse 13 and 14, when he talks about enter ye in at the straight gate, for straight is the way and narrow that leadeth to righteousness, and few that be that find it. He said, in contrast, wide is the way and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many will go in thereat. Now, if you look at us as a church and you look at other churches, what do? They like a cruise ship. You got these big mega conglomerations and you got all these people. You look at churches on TV, you got 5,000 and 6,000 people packed in the stadium. How many of them people can you know? How many of them people can you get close to? And then you got churches that got multiple worships. They got this worship. How many people you gonna know at that church? You come to the 8 o'clock, other people come to the 10, 11, come these other times. How many people of them you going to really know? How many of those people you going to really get close to? None of them. Because you're going to come in, you're going to do your little thing, and then you're going to walk out. You can't be connected with that many people. It wasn't meant for us to be like that. It's meant for us to be in small groups, small connected groups where we can know each other, where we can help each other. We ain't supposed to be mega conglomerations of 5,000 and 6,000 people. How many? You can't even effectively shepherd that many people effectively. You can't effectively shepherd that many people at one time. Think of how much problem we got, 150. How much problem we got just trying to keep up with the 150 we got.
Now multiply that, put thousands of people in here, you're going to have 1,000 more problems. So Jesus even told us that the church wasn't going to look like that the church wasn't going to be the Broadway that was going to attract a lot of people, but it was going to be small and a narrow and few people that find it. So that's why we're more like the boat, because not everybody going to be on the boat. If you put the boat and a cruise ship at the dock and told them choose which one you want to get on, guess what? What would you choose? I would get on that one. It's bigger, I got a stateroom, it's comfortable, got shrimp and lobster. We'd all choose that one. But if you want your spiritual salvation, you better get in the boat. Yes, it's smaller. Yes, it's going to rock. Yes, the storms are going to bounce it around. You're going to get bounced around in this one. But this is the one that's going to heaven. This is the one with salvation. That big one is going to destruction. Don't get in the big one. Don't get in the cruise chair on the cruise ship of churches. Sit back and relax and watch the entertainment, watch the floor show, watch them singing and praise dancing and all that. You can get on them big ships. You can get on them big churches and watch the entertainment, watch the floor show, and watch all that stuff. You best off in this little one over here. Oh, we might have some problems, but this is the one that's going to get you to heaven. This is the one that Jesus is on. Jesus ain't on them other big ones because they're geared toward entertainment and just keeping people pacified. They're not in there trying to teach the truth. They got a bunch of people that make it easy. That's why people are attracted to it. Like I say, you put both of them at the shore, everybody would choose the big one, the nice one, the luxurious one. How many people are going to choose to get in this little boat like these ancient boats of ancient times? So thank God we're not those. Sometimes members act like consumers in search of entertainment, shopping around for modern conventions and worship, praise music, and other gimmicks instead of trying to worship God in spirit and in truth. Jesus said, God is a spirit. They that worship him must worship him in spirit, and we must worship him in the truth. But some people, they come in. We've seen people come here, and they look at, what kind of youth programs you have? What kind of this do you have? What kind of that do you have? They don't never ask, are you teaching the truth here? I don't never hear them ask that. They want to know what you have, what programs, what all this. They're shoppers. They're going down their little grocery list. But they don't ask. The first thing you should ask, y'all teaching the truth here? What y'all believe here? What's y'all practice? They don't ask them questions. People come here and you see them come and they look and they're like, well, don't look like much is going on here. And they leave. They're looking for the bigger, better thing. The thing with the glitz. The thing that got all these grocery list things. And the thing is, Jesus never told the church that we're supposed to do all of that. He didn't tell us that we're supposed to have youth programs and all that. Who did he tell us supposed to raise your family? Families. He told the fathers and the dads, husband, he told the families to rear your children up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. He told the fathers to cause out their children and provoke them to wrath. It's the family's responsibility, not the church's. We can do stuff to help you, but it's the church's responsibility. Even the people in Israel's day knew that in Deuteronomy chapter 6, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one love. Thou shalt love the God with all thy heart, all thy mind, all thy soul, and you shall teach your children as you walk, as you lie down, and you stand. It's the family's responsibility. He didn't ever tell the church we got to have all these programs, but see, people have been so conditioned by that cruise ship mentality. They come in here looking for programs. What kind of programs? What kind of this? Do you have all that? He didn't say that. He said for us to come in here and study and know the truth. Yeah, we could do some things. We could try to have some programs and try to meet some of those needs, but it's not our responsibility. It's our responsibility to be here and to teach the word of God and to get you to heaven. And so people come here, they don't ask us, are y'all teaching the word of God? Are y'all strict on the doctrine? Are y'all adhering to the doctrine of Christ? No, they come looking for all those other things, all these programs. But that's that cruise ship mentality. We're the boat. We're not supposed to have that. It's not wrong for us to have those things, but don't come looking for those things. You should come looking for the truth. Are we teaching the truth? Are we adhering to truth? Are we adhering to righteousness and trying to follow God's word? But people want those other things. They're consumers. The cruise director is an important person on a cruise, but on a boat is leadership. On the boat is leadership. The captain is important on a boat because the captain is going to be telling you which way to sail, which way to go. Usually in those ancient mariner days, the captain was the most seasoned person. He's the one that could read the stars and the constellation. So he's the one that made the direction of what they were going to do and which way they was going to go. And so the same with the church. The church is leadership. Now, these other big places, they got people that are more like cruise directors. because they're directing all the entertainment. They got all the entertainment, all the action. And so some of these people that call themselves pastors and reverend, they more like cruise directors. Because the church is more geared toward entertainment, more geared toward the glitz and glamour. But here, we're about the leadership, like the captain provided constant leadership for the church, making sure the church doesn't go astray, just like those boats. The captain was responsible to make sure the boat didn't go astray. Make sure he took care of. The captain was responsible for every life, every soul that was on that ship. Who's the last one supposed to get off the boat? The captain. Supposed to be the last one. And if necessary, he's supposed to do what? Go down with the ship. Jesus told us in Ephesians chapter 6, he said, husband loves your wives, even as Christ loved the church. And what did he do for his church? He gave himself up for the church. Christ was willing to die. Christ died for the church. He gave himself up. And so that's when we tell husbands when they get married, you got to be willing to die for your wife, because Christ died for the church. You got to be willing to die for your wife. So the captain and leadership, when we're in the church, we're willing to die for the church. We're willing to put our lives on the line for the safety, to make sure that every soul in the church gets saved. That's the responsibility of the captain, to make sure every soul on that boat gets saved. You know one of the fallacies of the Titanic? One of the fallacies of the Titanic is, first of all, they thought it wasn't going to sink. They thought it was unsinkable. And the second thing is, they were more concerned with the aesthetics than the safety. Because of the sight lines of the boat, they decided that they would take some of the lifeboats, the comfort of the ship, they took some of the lifeboats off the ship. Because they thought, oh, it blocks people's view. So they took them off. So for the amount of people that the Titanic can carry, they didn't have enough lifeboats to carry everybody in case they had to evacuate. They didn't have enough boats to accommodate everybody that was on the ship, because they thought, oh, it'll never sink, so we just put some up here. So them lifeboats they were carrying were more for decoration. And they were more concerned about the sight lines. Well, we don't want to put so many lifeboats on there because people can't look out and see the ocean. And so they made that sacrifice. Somebody, some of the designers, in their wisdom, made that sacrifice to choose the sight lines and the look of the ship over people's lives. And they didn't put enough lifeboats on there to adequately save everybody. And then the other disaster happened is that when the things started to go down, some of the people panicked and cut their lifeboats too soon, and they wasn't even full of capacity. So some of the lifeboats sailed out and didn't have full people on there. And then the ones that got in the water, some people were not willing to go back and try to help and rescue people. They was pushing them away because they felt like if they went back and tried to pull some other people in the water, it would mess up their safety. And so they pushed them away and they kept going. Some people made some choices on the lifeboats. But see, in the church, we're concerned about everybody. We want to make sure that everybody in the boat is safe. Me and Brother Maxwell, we're concerned. And so we're willing to cut out and do away for some things if we feel like it's going to upset and turn over the boat. If it's something that's going to turn over the boat, the captain's got to make some choices. Remember back in Jonah's day, remember when Jonah was on the boat and the thing started going sideways and everything's going crazy? What did they do? They started throwing off stuff. And unfortunately, because they didn't know the cause that it was Jonah that was the problem, they start throwing off stuff they needed. They start throwing off provisions and water. They start throwing stuff off because they thought it was going to lighten their load. But the captain had to make that decision. Hey, let's get rid of some stuff. We got to start throwing stuff off, try to make lighten up the load so hopefully we can survive. See, captains have to make those tough decisions. They got to make it when they're looking at, are we going to survive? We got to make some tough decisions. And as captains of this ship that Christ has put us in charge of, me and Brother Max, we got to make some tough decisions. Because we're concerned, number one, about the safety of the boat and everybody in the boat. And so if we have something in the boat that's going to be a detriment to everybody in the boat, we got to make sure we deal with that thing and get it out the boat. And unfortunately, according to church discipline, sometimes that means some people. If somebody is not acting right, acting unruly, damaging and rocking the boat, do you want to be on the boat? Somebody's back there just rocking the boat? No, you better sit down. We're looking, you better sit down in that boat. You don't like somebody, you know, if you on a little fishing boat and somebody want to clown and rock the boat and get everybody scared, sit down or we're going to have to put you out. And so as elders, sometimes we have to look at the boat and somebody's threatening the safety of the boat. Brother, you got to get it together. We want you in the boat. But if you're not going to get it together, we got to ask you to leave. Because we can't threaten and upset the safety of everybody else in the boat because you don't want to behave.
So captains, leaders have to make decisions about the safety of the boat.
Paul said in Ephesians 4 and 11, Paul said that's why all those positions were put in the church. Paul said in Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 11, and he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors. And pastors, that's the elders and teachers. And the reason he put them in there for the perfecting or completing of the saints, for the work of ministry, for edifying the body of Christ till we all come into the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. We're in here as pastors, as leaders, to edify everybody, to make everybody perfect or complete in Christ Jesus, so that we can come into the stature, the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect or complete man, unto the measure and the stature of the fullness of Christ. That's our job. We're trying to help you to get in the image of Christ. We may not have a program that you want, but we're trying to get you the image of Christ. We may not have this little gimmick or this little convention that some other churches have, but can we help to mature you and edify you so you can get in the image of Christ? We may lack some programs. We may lack some individuals. And the thing is, we can't do it all. Yeah, there's some other congregations that got some things that we're not doing. And we may do some things that they don't do. But the biggest thing is, are we helping you to come to the image and the fullness of Christ? That's the thing. We're trying to get you there. We may not do everything that we could do, everything that's legal, everything that's lawful for us to do, but we'll try to do enough so we can get you to heaven and get you to help you to be mature and edified in the fullness of Christ. And so that's why we're like the boat. We're not the cruise, because we make those decisions to help and benefit the church. This afternoon, which one are you on? Or which one do you consider you on? Maybe you hadn't thought about this. Which one are you on? Are you on this nice big cruise liner? Or on you on that little boat? Yes, that little boat's going to take some waves, and that little boat may take some difficulties, but that little boat got Jesus in it. It's going to help you get there. Jesus is not on the big way. He's not on the broad way. He's not on the way that's attracting everybody, the way that's most comfortable, the way that's attractive. Jesus is on this simple way. You remember that in Jesus' time, that they in Paul and them's time, they stumbled over the preaching of the cross. They stumbled. It was a stumbling block. They couldn't get over. Like, man, how's this little humble Jesus, who was just a little carpenter? He was born in such a meager way. He died on this cross. How is he the one? But Paul would tell us that it's him. It's that humble beginning, that meager beginning. It's that humble life that he didn't even have a place to lay his head, that he didn't have a hole. He didn't have a place. He told him, come see. Foxes have holes, but the Son of Man don't have a place to lay his head. It's that life. And it's that death on the cross that he died innocently for our sins, something that he died for what he didn't even do. But he died because of the envy of the Jews. That death and that Jesus, as Peter would say on the day of Pentecost, he's been raised up to be Lord and Master. As Acts would say, there's no other name given among men whereby we must be saved. So we're asking you, we're begging you today to choose that boat, to be on the boat. Let's get the cruise line. Let's get the cruise mentality out. We're not on deck chairs, lounging out on the deck, taking a nice, relaxing cruise. No, we're in here working. We're in here rigging. Like, why is it so difficult? Why are we working so hard? Because we're on a boat. We're rigging. There's some hard work on the boat. It's not the cruise. Now, if you want it easy, you can go to some other places and you could be like a cruise. And you could come in, not have to do anything. You could kick back. It'll be a nice ride. But it may not get you to heaven. But I'm telling you to sweat it out and to get on the boat with us and to row and to work and to be industrious and to work on this boat. If Jesus is on this boat, it's going to get you where you need to go. And in the last day, when you get there on a nice boat, as Brother Eric Owens say, and the Lord starts checking your credentials, well, and you start saying, well, Lord, didn't we do all of this? And Jesus is like, I don't know you. You spent your whole life on the cruise. You didn't get out and do no work on the boat. You need to be in the boat. Jesus is like, sorry, buddy, you was in the wrong vessel. You took the easy way. You should have took the hard way. You should have took this way. You should have took the boat. You should have took the one with the waves and the wind. See, you would have went through the waves and the wind and survived. Then now I can reward you.
Oh, but you took the easy way. You took the cruise, so now you got to go live in outer destruction. You got to go and live eternity in destruction. But if you take the hard way, now if you take the straight and narrow way, the one that few will find, then at the end of your life, Christ can judge us and he can reward us. And then we could go to live in glory with him. But if you take the easy way out, it may not get you to glory where you want to go. Which one are you on this afternoon? Are you on the cruise or are you on the boat? We hope that you will choose to have the mentality of being on the boat with the Lord, to come in and to, because as we suffer with him, as we suffer and go through his suffering, along with his ministry, we take his suffering, that he will raise us up and he will resurrect us and we can go on and live with him with glory. It's going to be some tough, but the thing is, the mentality is that Jesus is in here with us. Jesus said in Matthew 11, he said, "Come unto me, all ye that labor, heavy laden, I will give you rest. Take my yoke and learn of me, because my yoke is easy and my burdens are light." The Lord never said there wasn't going to be no burdens. He just said they're lighter. The Lord didn't say there wasn't going to be no yoke. Yeah, there's a yoke, but he said, take off their yoke and put on my yoke. Take off their burdens and put on my burdens. My burdens are lighter compared to theirs. My burdens are My yoke is easy and my burdens are light. Because you got Christ is carrying the burdens with you. And so what better image can you have than Christ carry the burdens with you? You're going to carry some burdens of life. You're going to carry, but see, out there you're going to carry them all yourself. But in here, Christ is going to carry them with you. So Christ is saying, come in here, come unto me. I'm going to give you some rest. You can put your burdens down and you can come and take my burdens, because my burdens are lighter compared to those. My yoke is easier. It's not going to bear down. You get their yoke, you get the world's yoke, it's going to bear down on you. It's going to break your back. But my yoke is easy. It's easy to carry it because I'm carrying it with you. My burden's a lot lighter. Come on and get on the boat just like the disciples. The disciples discovered that when they were in the boat, if Jesus was in the boat with them, everything was okay. Once they woke Jesus up, he was fine. Once Jesus came and got in the boat with them, everything was fine. And it was smooth sailing. So come on and get in the boat. Stay in the boat with Jesus. Get off the cruise, get in here, roll up your sleeves. Let's get to work, let's get to rigging, let's get to rowing in the boat with the Lord. If you accept the invitation in any way, if you fall short, we ask that you give you opportunity to come back and to ask for prayers, ask for strength so that you can be renewed. If you are not a member of the body of Christ, we give you the opportunity to come and to be buried in the likeness of his death so you can rise in the likeness of his resurrection. You have to hear and believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. You have to repent of your sins, decide that you're going to turn from that which you was doing, and turn to do that what Christ would have you to do. And then confess that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, and then you can be baptized in the water he gave for baptism. If you're subject to the invitation in any way, we give you an opportunity as we together stand and sing.